Jerry Bader Show, 1007. Aretha Franklin, 1967. That's spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. The White House welcomed the performances yesterday by American musical icons Aretha Franklin, Melissa Etheridge, and Patti LaBelle, as well as contemporary female artists. While the president was paying tribute to Aretha Franklin, he had a hard time with the spelling of a word famously spelled out in one of her best-known songs. When Aretha first told us what R-S-P-E-C-T means, and he went on, can you imagine if this was a Republican? Can you imagine if a Republican left the first E out of respect? Remember potato-y? That's where that E went, came from. See? By the way, it was on the card that Dan Quayle was given by a teacher. But that lives in infamy. Presidents, how can you do that? R-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. How is that pronounced? But no, it wouldn't even get noticed. Now, CNN made a little fun with it. But it would just, right now, it'd be all anyone was talking about. If George W. Bush had done it, or any Mitt Romney, any Republican. Corpsman, and trying to walk through a window. And all the other stupid gaffes. No, they shouldn't be a big deal, but they are when Republicans... Anyway, it's very frustrating. All right. There was a vote yesterday in a Senate committee to advance a bill. It was a unanimous vote. The three Republicans and two Democrats on the committee advanced a bill that would limit some of the information now available on the state's online court record system known as CCAP. It would require removal of all records involving a case in which charges were dismissed or the defendant was found not guilty or the charge was overturned on appeal. This is opposed by pretty much anyone who disseminates information, newspapers, radio stations, television stations, and yours truly. However, this seems to be one of the one bills in Madison right now that does have strong bipartisan support. Again, as I said, the three Republicans on the committee, Senators Glenn Grothman, the chair, Leah Vukmir, the vice chair, and Paul Farrow, all voted to limit this. I disagree with the bill. Joining us now is the chair of that committee, and someone who obviously supports the bill, is State Senator Glenn Grothman of West Bend. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
First, I want to thank you. I know you're traveling today, and your plane was delayed and all of that. Fun. So thanks for making this work. Really appreciate that. Why do you support this?
Well, I want to first of all explain that this bill is limited.
Yep.
Your listeners are familiar with what CCAP is.
Yeah.
You can get on the computer and see, you know, all the places that Jerry Bader's appears, either as a defendant or plaintiff. After this bill, everything related to civil lawsuits, evictions, suing for unpaid bills will stay on there. But if you are charged with a crime and that crime has either been dropped or you have been found not guilty, that will be removed from CCAP. Right now, for example, if you are charged with a crime, the police arrest you and it's later determined you're innocent, that remains on your permanent record for any busybody to look at. I think, for example, I happen to know somebody who is charged with a horrific crime, just a horrible crime. Later on, it was determined that this person was not guilty. This horrible crime is still on there if you look at this person's name. This is incredibly damaging. If this person would look for a new job, it would be damaged if, let's say, it was looking for a new girlfriend, whatever. The question, Jerry, is, should we go back to 20 years ago where if you are found innocent of a crime, the government no longer provides that information to anybody to look at it, or if you are found innocent or charges are dropped, does it have to stay out there forever ruining your reputation? Because we all know that even if you are found not guilty or charges are dropped, many people will think, well, maybe he's guilty. Maybe he had a good lawyer. Maybe somebody wouldn't testify. And this is just a horrific thing for somebody in a situation like that. The person that I know, actually was charged with, it was a very horrific sex crime. And I think most people now believe that he is now innocent, but that remains on the record. And the question is, Is that right? Is that appropriate for the government to do? And I think obviously not. Obviously, it should be removed. The file will still be in the courthouse if you want to poke around the courthouse.
Exactly,
Glenn.
Available. Exactly. You can go to the courthouse and get it because it's public record. So if something is public record and I can go to the courthouse and get it, why shouldn't it then be available online?
It shouldn't be available because you are ruining somebody's reputation. If the government makes a mistake and charges somebody with a horrific crime, do you really think it is right for the government to, shouldn't the government do something to try to restore that person's reputation, not put it out there for anybody to look at at the click of a mouse?
No,
I
don't.
Really think, Jerry?
Yes,
that
I do.
That was one of your kids. If one of your kids was wrongly charged with a crime.
I understand that.
We later realize that those charges are dropped. He's exonerated. For the rest of his life, you have to click on there and say that he was arrested for, I don't know, molesting a child, arrested for embezzlement, whatever. And then they can say the charge is dropped. And so whenever he applies for a job, maybe his a potential girlfriend clicks on there and sees what they know about this person. There it is. You really think that is a good thing for the government to do?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Okay, a couple of things. One, he may have been guilty and got away with it. You're not trusting the public to digest this information. Two, if you support this, then why don't you support the hard copies being destroyed so someone can't go look at them at the courthouse?
The reason we leave the hard copies there, I suppose we could destroy them, is because if law enforcement or somebody wanted to look at them for some purpose, maybe the person would be arrested later on for a similar crime.
Then close
like
them
that.
To the public. Close
and those have always been there. Those have always been there, but we don't normally take the time to go to the courthouse. I would open this up for the listeners. If they feel it is appropriate for the government to throw that out there, because frequently the government makes a mistake. Police are not always right. Prosecutors are not always right.
But it reflects, Glenn, that it was dropped.
Yes, but we all know that if a charge is dropped, many people, myself included, thinks, well, you know, they were charged with a crime. The charge was dropped, but maybe they just didn't have enough evidence.
Maybe
they had a good lawyer.
I trust the public.
So I better deal cautiously with this person. We all know that goes on.
But I trust the public with open records, and I think you're setting a dangerous precedent here that you're going to pick and choose which public records the public is responsible enough to handle online.
Well, Jerry, it would be interesting. I will tell you that the people who are most adamantly opposed to my bill who call me are employers or landlords who like to know if somebody was charged with a crime because they freely admit they hold it against the person. And we all know that people hold it against the person. You and I both know that if there's an article in the paper that says somebody is arrested, we kind of assume that that person might be guilty. And even if the charges are dropped, we wonder, why were the charges dropped? Maybe somebody wouldn't testify, a good lawyer or something like that. You realize you are ruining somebody's life, and the callousness of people who oppose this bill just amazes me.
A public record is a public record.
It is a public record.
So why not have it online?
Because it is so easily accessible and people's lives can be ruined. We all know people, many people, who nowadays, employers or whatever, just click on somebody's name, Jerry Bader, and see. Yeah. Did he get a traffic ticket? Does he have a, you know, what other things do we see there? Does he have a hard time paying his bills? Whatever. If someone has been right now, appearing on CCAP is almost a worse punishment than the punishment of the crime. You can pay a $2,000 fine. You can go to jail for 2 months. But if your name is on CCAP forever, you will forever be damaged.
But here's again, I don't think you sufficiently answered. It's a public record. You can go to the courthouse and find it. What bothers you is the ease of it. But that, to me, is irrelevant.
It bothers me anyway, but there's nothing we can do about the other part. I think the idea that
sure you can.
The public records are out there. Maybe we should go further. I have a feeling that people would get upset there as well. Law enforcement itself may want to look at them if they're evidence of a future crime, that sort of thing. And maybe, Jerry, in the future we should try to get rid of those.
Let me give you an example. Suppose O.J. Simpson's case had happened in Wisconsin. Should that record not be available on CCAP, his acquittal of that double murder?
under my bill, it would not. Now, of course, in a high-profile thing, you would Google it, and it would show up in many newspaper articles. And by the way, Jerry, I'll tell you something else. We haven't been able to track down the exact number of states, but Wisconsin is a very rare state, we believe, to have a CCAP anyway. In most states, you just can't click on and see somebody's court records at all. So Wisconsin, even to have this sort of access,
okay,
is somewhat unusual.
But before I let you go, all right, so this passed out of committee 5-0. When do you think the full Senate would take this up?
I'm hoping to have them take it up next Tuesday.
Okay. And obviously it's going to pass. All right, Glenn, this is one where we disagree, but I appreciate you calling in.
Always glad to be on the show, Jerry.
All right, thanks. I want to read an email, and then we're going to take some calls. All right, yeah, let's take a break. No, Jason says, yeah, take a break. Let's go ahead and do that. Then I'm going to read an email. Jim from Howard, hang on, you're going to be up first. 406-1360, 888-455-1360, it's 1018.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.